Our second reading is actually taken from John's Gospel, John 20, and we're going to begin reading at verse 10 together. John 20 from verse 10 through to verse 18. John records these words for us. And the disciples went back to where they were staying. And Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned towards him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God." And so Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had all the things that he'd said to her. Amen. Praise God for the reading of his word to us this morning. Some years ago, a gentleman by the name of George Thomas, a pastor from a small village in America, arrived at the Easter Sunday morning service. And as he came into the church, he was carrying with him a rusty, bent old bird cage. And he sat it on the pulpit. Several of the eyebrows of the people there were raised in response to what the pastor had done. But Pastor Thomas immediately began to speak. He says, "I was walking through town yesterday and I saw a young boy coming towards me swinging at this old bird cage. And on the bottom of the cage was a three little wild birds shivering cold and frightened. I stopped the lad and I asked, 'What have you got there, son?' 'Just some old birds,' came the reply. 'What are you going to do with them?' I asked. 'Take him home and have fun with them. I'm going to tease them, pull out their wings, and I'm going to have a really good time with them.' 'Well, you've got tired of those birds sooner or later. What are you going to do then?' 'Oh, I'll give them to my cat,' said the boy. 'They like the birds. They'll eat them.'" The pastor was silent for a moment. "How much do you want for these birds, son?" I don't know. "Why would you want them? They're just an old couple of birds. They're not very pretty." "How much?" asked the pastor. The boy sized the pastor up and down. Thinking he was crazy, he just said, $10. The pastor reached into his pockets and took out the $10 bill. He placed it on the boy's hands, and in a flash, the boy was gone. The pastor picked up the cage and gently carried it to the end of the alley, where there was a few trees and some grassy spot. Setting the cage out, he opened it and he persuaded the little birds and he set them free. Then he explained to the people another story. He said one day Satan and Jesus was having a conversation. Satan had just come from the Garden of Eden and he was gloating and he was boasting. "Yeah, I've just caught the whole world," said Satan. "I set a trap for them, used the bait, and now they couldn't resist, and now I've got them all." "What are you going to do with them?" Jesus said. Satan replied, "Oh, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to teach them how to marry, how to divorce each other, how to hate, how to abuse each other. I'm going to teach them how to drink and smoke and curse. I'm going to teach them to invent guns, and then I'm going to tell them how to kill themselves. What are you going to do with after that?" "Well, I'll probably just kill them all," Satan glared proudly. "How much do you want for them?" Jesus asked. You don't want these sort of people, Satan said. They aren't any good. They'll hate you, they'll spit on you, they'll curse and they'll kill you. You don't want these people. How much, he asked. Satan looked at Jesus and sneered, all your tears and all your blood. And Jesus said, done. And then he paid the price. With that, the pastor picked up the cage, he opened the door and he walked from the pulpit. Simple little story, which I know we've actually all heard before. I suppose for those who were listening to the pastor that Easter time, they probably thought that was the shortest sermon that they'd ever heard. But I'm going to go on a bit further. Because whilst we do praise God that Jesus Christ paid the price for each and every one of us that we might be free, through his death he paid the price, and through his resurrection he gives us life so that we can be free. But what do we do with that new life that we have in Christ Jesus, with the freedom that we now have? The Apostle Paul speaks about that freedom in Galatians 5. He said it this way, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Therefore, stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again with a yoke of slavery. Jesus Christ died to give us a permanent freedom, so that we would not have the yoke of slavery. You know that the yoke a farmer would put upon his animals would be a yoke that would guide them, but it would also be a yoke that would control them. And it was quite a heavy burden. Paul says, in view of the fact that Jesus Christ has set you free from slavery of a yoke, do not again put yourself under that same yoke. You should love your freedom and not ever want to be under the restrictions of slavery of sin again. Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death and from the guilt that is associated with it. There's another interesting story that I heard recently. It was about a Canadian, a boxer. He was American-Canadian. His name was Hurricane Carter. I don't think he's related to the Carters up the road there. I think it's a different family. His actual name was Reuben Carter. He was wrongly convicted of a murder of three different people. And as a result, he actually spent 20 years in prison. But he was finally set free. And when he was released, he spent the rest of his life trying to find others who had been wrongfully convicted and so help them to be free as well. When he was in prison, there was no freedom. It was a horrible place for him to be. But just imagine if he got out of prison and then as soon as he was released, he turned around and said, I love being locked up in that cell. I love the fact that my freedoms are being taken away from me. I think I'll go back. We would think that there was something wrong with him. We would actually think that he was mad. And that is exactly what Paul says here to these believers in Galatians who want to go back under a yoke of slavery. There is something wrong in the mind, Paul speaks. Jesus Christ went to the cross to set us free from the guilt of sin and of law. Notice there in Galatians 5 and verse 1, there's a conjunction there in the middle of that verse. It's a therefore, it's slightly weaker in the NIV, it just says then. But there's a therefore right in the middle there. That conjunction introduces us to two continual actions that should exist in us because of what Jesus Christ has done. The first thing is this, is that we should stand. To stand firm is an imperative. In fact, Paul is commanding the church to stand firm on the freedom, on the grace of God that they now have because of Christ Jesus. Folks, in New Testament believers, you and I need to stand firm in faith, as Paul said to the church at Corinth. We also need to stand firm, unified in the Spirit. Paul also said that we need to stand firm in the Lord and also in the freedom, the grace that we have because of Jesus Christ. But secondly, as well as standing firm, Paul says this. He says that you should not be swayed to go back under the law again. You should not be swayed to go back under legalism, under false teaching which restrict you. In standing firm, he does not want them to be under a yoke of man's tradition or false teaching. stand firm in the grace of God because of the freedom that you now have in Christ Jesus. Did you notice something else about that story about Hurricane Carter? Did you notice that he wanted to help others to know the same freedom that he had? In our video for the children this morning, which wasn't really for the children, it was for all of us children under 99 really, there was a refrain that was repeated time and time again. I don't know whether you heard it because of the stutter and the slight delay. But the refrain said this, that Jesus said, because Jesus loved, to show us how the Father loves. Jesus did, and Jesus loved, to show us how the Father loves. Jesus served, and Jesus loved, to show us how the Father loved. Jesus prayed, and Jesus loved, to show us how the Father loved. Jesus ate, and Jesus loves, to show us how the Father loved. Jesus died, and Jesus loves, to show us how the Father loves. And Jesus rose, and Jesus loved, to show us how the Father loved. In all of the actions that the Lord Jesus Christ did, he demonstrated the love of the Father. He reflected the love that God had for his creation. You know, we are called in the new life that we now have, in the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, to do exactly the same. To love as Jesus loved us. And in so doing, we show others the love of the Father. We have been set free that we might speak for him. We have been set free that we might serve him. We've been set free that we might remember him. We've set free that we might pray to him, die to self for him, and that we would be raised up in him as well. Jesus loved to show us how the Father loves. And I pray that this Easter time, in the opportunities that we have, that we would do exactly the same, that we would demonstrate how much God has loved us when he sent his Son to die for each and every one of us, so that we would have that same freedom now in Christ Jesus by his grace. May the Lord help us all to do this Easter time.